Remember, Katrina, you must call me Doctor.
Have you ever thought what it's like to be wanderers in the fourth dimension? To be exiles?
This is the Doctor speaking. Well, one of them. Is there anybody there?
I hate computers and refuse to be bullied by them.
And their leader was called?
The Doctor.
Are you trying to tell us that you are the Doctor?
That's right. I've reversed the polarity of the neutron flow so the TARDIS should be free of the force field.
You may be a Doctor, but I'm the Doctor. The definite article, you might say. Would you like a jelly, baby?
I'm a Time Lord.
I'm the Doctor. Or will be if this regeneration works out. And it seems not a moment too soon.
How do you do? I'm the Doctor.
I am the Doctor!
I'm the Doctor, by the way. What's your name?
Rose.
Nice to meet you, Rose. Run for your life!
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm the Doctor.
I'm Aldi.
Hello, I'm the Doctor.
Both eyes are cool.
It's not working.
We're both reversing the polarity.
Yes, I know that.
There's two of us. I'm reversing it, you're reversing it back again. We're confusing the polarity.
Anyone lose a fez?
Well, hello, one and all. Welcome again right here at geeksofdoom.com for another edition of the TARDIS Blend, episode 93, in fact, in which we look at the weekly episodes of Doctor Who. I'm Greg Davies.
And I'm Tom Cheridar.
And, well, Tom, I was blown away by last week's episode, so I'm going to let you kick it off first. Your reaction, please.
Yeah.
Is that good or bad?
I wasn't the biggest fan. I liked so much, like, all the pieces. I just didn't really like how they fit together.
Really? Okay. Well, I had the same reaction to last week. I thought this was an outstanding episode. I thought this was better than the previous episode. I think it's the best of the season thus far. And I mentioned last week that if this episode pans out to be as good as the previous one, I would probably rank it up there with one of my first viewing recommendations, but I can't really do that now because we're kind of at odds on this. Like, you think it's like fairly good, you know, average Doctor Who fare, but I think it's top of the line.
It just didn't impress me. It just, like, I like where they're going. I respect that Clara's not just like a female companion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's, I like where they're going. I like that they've shown some real personality to Capaldi's Doctor. I love that they're making all these references and they're playing fan service. I love the Zygons, like the design. Mm-hmm. And they've done some really cool, you know, things with trying to weave in story with you know, some kind of behind the scenes commentary about the political situation.
Right.
I kind of like it all. I just was just bored out of my damn mind.
Really? Do you feel that the pacing was off for you?
It was. And yeah. I think it's just, for me, it's really tough. And I think if I had to do this all over again, Greg, I think I would probably just skip the first, portions of everything and watch it all in one sitting.
Mm.
because I don't know. I feel like I'm missing something.
So do you think it would be better if you were viewing a 90-minute episode instead, as opposed to two 45-minute episodes?
I do. I think that there were enough good, like, quality lines and quality thinking behind so much in this past episode that, like, you could certainly justify an entire second part. For me, I felt like you could have been better about your time in the first episode and fit in like a 10-minute chunk of the highlights.
Mm.
The one that we saw ending with the box, and I would have given that episode probably a 5 out of 5. You know, but it just was like, I felt like they were just kind of sandwiching in portions that I just didn't need to see. And they were good. Don't get me wrong. They were good. I just, you know, it was like in an effort to like pull more out that didn't really need to be there. And for me, I just lost the creativity.
Well, it sounds to me that, I mean, what you're trying to say is that there's a lot of stuff in there that could be trimmed away, that could trim the fat and kind of like put the two episodes together as, say, a 60 or a 90-minute episode and let the pace go from there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I can see that perspective, but I'm going to have to disagree with you because I thought this episode and the previous one were outstanding. And this is like the best of Doctor Who in my mind. And the thing that sealed the deal for me, Capaldi's monologue, the speech at the end. I mean, that was phenomenal. I mean, it was lengthy.
I did like that. And that's one of the things I was thinking of. I was like, man, that's so good that there's like, I can see why they were like, well, we're certainly not going to cut this out. You know?
Well, yeah, and the Time War references, mate. I mean, now it's so different now. It's like, you know, you feel the pain behind the delivery there because we've now lived through that Time War with the Doctor. We've seen it happen in the 50th anniversary. We finally got answers to what was going on with the Time War. So we know now the pain. We've gone through that journey with him. And it means so much more when Peter Capaldi delivers that compared to the deliveries made by Chris Eccleston and Dave Tennant, in my mind.
And even Matt Smith.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because that was pre-Doctor when he was holding back, when he didn't like to talk about it. He didn't want to even acknowledge it.
The return of
It was also before he got, you know, he saved his planet.
Yeah.
His entire race.
I like Jenna Coleman this episode, balancing two roles very nicely. I thought she did an excellent job. I think this is probably her best season thus far.
I have to say this is the season where she's stepping into her own. I don't feel like she is. I really like the direction that they pushed it. I wish we would have seen this Clara last season and the season before last.
Yeah, I agree. Return of the Osgoods. Good to see the ambiguity there with which one is which, human or Zygon, left and completely ambiguous there. I thought that was nicely done. And it's nice to kind of, because I would have loved to have seen Osgood go for a bit of a trip in the TARDIS, you know, for a go, like one trip, one episode. But
yeah, but I'm glad they didn't.
I'm exactly the same. They've delivered that. Or rather, they've developed that character to a point now where she has
a better substance.
Yeah, she has a particular place now. So,
well, before she was just like, if you were to put like a female composite, like collective average Doctor Who fan, young, it would be a young, fairly attractive, but not like knockout. You know, girl who knows like everything, like knows her shit well, both classic and current. And even if they don't, you know, like that's the composite. They like to think that they know a little bit of everything. And just like literally all of the quips or the like the fan servicey stuff, she's such a great character.
I agree. Fantastic.
And now she has substance.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing with the Osgoods and Kate Stewart in particular, were and you know, five round rapids, by the way, a bit of a tribute to the classic Brigadier line. With those two or three rather characters, we're seeing a recurring role for those characters, which is suitable for where it is, and it's not overkill. Like, I felt like the Madame Vastra stuff, like with the lizard woman from the Victorian era, I thought that got to a little bit of overkill. Do you remember?
Yeah. I don't want them anywhere. Like, I was done with them by the time they showed up.
But I'm not tired with Unit or Kate Stewart or the Osgoods. I'm liking the pacing that's going on with these characters. It's not overbearing, and I think also because it's set in the modern age, there's an element of relevance there for the viewers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Next thing I want to mention, I kind of got the feeling, with the conclusion of this episode, I think we're going to be seeing the Osgoods in the finale.
This is part of the Doctor's new kind of cabal. You know, I feel like Lady Vastra was sort of a stepping stone for old fans to trust this new old guy who doesn't look anything like the last one and does things differently and, you know, you're not sure about. So yeah. There's some more familiar faces that you remember. Now they're kind of developing their own thing, and I really like the characters they've developed and picked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thus far. And I think you're right.
I want to draw your attention to a line that was at the end of the episode.
Did you see the photo this time?
Yes, I did. I did, actually. It was quite in your face in this episode, so I was glad and happy to see it. But I want to draw your attention to a line that Peter Capaldi said at the end of the episode. After he speaks to the Osgoods, he re-enters the TARDIS, reunites with Clara, and she mentions something along the lines of, did you think I was dead, or how long did you think I was dead? And he said, she says, did you think I was dead? And he said, yes. And then he says, he either says it was the longest month of my life or the loneliest month of my life. And she says, well, it was only 5 minutes. And he said, I'll be the judge of time. Now, there's a lot of fan. Now, this isn't my theory. I'm talking about the fan theories that are going on. There's a lot of fans out there that have taken that line, and they're now speculating. Well, they've given birth to a new theory that is an old theory of ours relating to Amy Pond and Rory Williams. If you remember, in the first part of Series 7, we knew that we were going to see the farewell of Amy and Rory. And the theory that we were kicking around on the TARDIS blend was that the Doctor was already aware they were dead, and he was trying to go back and visit with them. He couldn't say goodbye. We were wrong about that. So what the new theory is that's going around is that from the Doctor's perspective, he's already witnessed the death of Clara. And these adventures that we've been seeing are him going back to try and make amends with Clara.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I'm not sure whether that's the case or not.
That would get super duper, I don't know if they would do that. You know, that's hard to follow for a lot of people. A lot of people don't like it. I feel like you would lose a portion of people who say, I don't know what's going on.
I agree. The scene in the Black Archives behind the Doctor, I don't know if you caught it, but in that little unit vault thing that they had, there was a helmet of one of the Mire from the Viking episode.
Yeah,
and so some people are mentioning that it could be a clue of what's to come. So no specific mentions of hybrids this episode. No real other clues as to what's coming up for the finale, but we're getting closer because this is episode 8. We've only got 4 episodes to go, Tom.
Yeah.
So my rating for this episode, 5 out of 5. What's yours?
5 out of 5? Wow. You know, I'm going to go with 3, the solid 3 out of 3. I can't, in good conscience, go lower because there was a lot of good parts.
Yeah.
And I can't go higher because for me, it just didn't come together.
Well, that makes it an 8 out of 10, which is, like the last episode, we rated that 8 out of 10 as well, which in our estimation is a respectable rating for Doctor Who.
Yeah.
It means it's good. It's a good, worthy view, and, we, you know, we really enjoyed it. The only classic recommendation I've got this week is to return back to the Tom Baker episode, Terror of the Zygons, where the Zygons all began. Did you have any New Who recommendations, Tom?
No, I don't think I have any this time.
What about Day of the Doctor, the 50th anniversary one?
Yeah, sure.
Because this was kind of a special, like a sequel to it. In fact, what I did love was the, I should mention this before we close out, was the connectivity between the Doctor's experience in the Day of the Doctor compared to the experience of Evil Clara and Kate Stewart in this episode. They're all, they're at the end of the line, they're all facing a box with a button.
You know, I do have one. Go back and it's a classic reference, but you're going to have to help me out on this. It's the Tom Baker series. I think they're shorter than average episodes, maybe just 20 minutes a piece.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a hive. It's when the Doctor magically ages.
Yeah, that's the Leisure Hive, I think. Yeah, I believe that's on Netflix, and you can absolutely check that out there.
And
so,
the reason I recommend that is because you also get that if you were a fan of Capaldi's speech, I feel like there's a lot of that in Tom Baker.
Well, Capaldi does – he channels a lot of Tom Baker. I think Tom Baker is his doctor. I kind of feel that there's a lot of Baker and John Pertwee in his performance.
Yeah.
As well as like making it his own. But I think the monologue in this particular episode, I mean, that was just phenomenal. That's going to become a memorable piece of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
So, what was I going to say? I do want to talk about the preview before we take off.
Yeah, now what is the next episode? Let me see what the, because I don't know.
Can I say that the last time, and I've been across the board, I think most of the episodes I've rated have been threes.
Right.
But the one that they didn't, that was almost a five, was the introduction of, what is her name, Ashida or Ashira?
Ashilder.
Ashilder, excuse me. Ashilder, that episode I got super psyched about, and I loved it. I thought it was awesome. I saw that preview, and I was like, oh man, I'm going to love this episode. Like, I just know ahead of time I'm really going to like it. And it's a standalone.
Well,
it's the next two are not it's not the first part of a two-parter.
Now I'm not really sure about that. I think what you will find that there might be standalone stories, but I have a feeling that we're going to have mirrored themes between the two episodes. Because I think what Moffat's been doing with this particular season has been experimenting with two-parters. If you have a look at like under the lake and before the flood, under the lake are the event, like the secondary events of the story, but in the second part we get the primary events of the story, how it all began. And then if you look at the girl who died and the woman who lived, that was a two-parter, but they stood alone as their own particular story as well. So I think what we're going to see is, while it may not be a two-parter in the true sense of the word, I believe what we will find is that there will be concepts that will be mirrored between the two episodes to connect them in some way. That's just my guess. And the other thing, I mean, this next episode is called Sleep No More. It's directed by Justin Malotnikov, who is directing the next episode after that. But Sleep No More is written by Mark Gatiss, who we haven't heard from this season.
We have not.
He usually has a couple of episodes in a season. This is his only one this time. And he, of course, works with Stephen Moffat on the Sherlock series. So it'll be interesting to see where Gatiss goes with this. And I always find with Mark Gatiss, Tom, whenever he writes an episode of Doctor Who, it's either super awesome killer or an absolute dud. There's never any in between for him. It's either great or crap.
I have noticed that.
Yeah. So we'll have to see how that goes, because we need to remember he did write Victory of the Daleks. That was him.
Yeah.
So.
Victory of the Daleks.
Well, that's all I've got. Have you got anything else, mate?
You know, I did, and it's going to bug me, and I don't remember what, for the life of me, I don't remember what it was, but next episode, I guess.
All right, then, no worries. We'll come back to it then, if it comes back to you, and, of course, you can catch us always here at geeksofdoom.com. Tom, where can we catch you on the web?
You can head over to gigaohm.com for, my coverage of tech news, or just check out Greg's stuff.
Yes, you can check me out over at blendover.com, and also for the Heavy Metal Historian podcast over at heavymetal666.com. We'll catch you for the next edition of the TARDIS Blend right here next week at geeksofdoom.com. See you later. Billy Gaffney.